If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Experience the difference at Woodhouse Buick GMC. From the GMC Acadia to the Buick Encore, we're sure to have a vehicle that fits your lifestyle. Our climate-controlled showroom guarantees a comfortable shopping experience every time you visit. Plus, our commitment to our customers continues well beyond the date of purchase. You will leave our lot feeling comfortable and confident in your new vehicle. Start your car buying journey today, in-store or online at WoodhouseBuickGMC.com. We are professional grade.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Look right down any crowded hall, you'll see there's a beauty standing. Is she really everywhere or a reflection? One always calls out to you, the other's shy and quiet. Could there be two different girls who look the same at Sweet Valley, Sweet Valley High? Sweet Valley, Sweet Valley High.
Welcome to Pi Beta Alpha, the podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of the Sweet Valley High TV show, episode by episode. I'm Anna Carey.
I'm Karen Moynihan.
And this week, it is episode number seven.
Seven.
And contrary to what we said in the last episode, it is not the curse of the Lawrence Mansion. It's the curse of Lawrence Manson.
I guess it's an easy mistake to make.
I mean, bear in mind, we are just going on the Wikipedia page for a list of Sweet Valley High episodes. So, you know, it turns out that there is no Lawrence Mansion, but there is a Lawrence Manson. And I guess we'll dive right in with the blurb, so to speak, which is also on Wikipedia, remember?
Again, yes. we're working off some pretty shoddy workmanship here, I would say.
Well, please share it with us.
Okay. The gang spend Halloween at school, where they attempt to revive a student who died 25 years ago. No, they don't. That's not what's happening.
It definitely isn't.
No. A lot of strange, creepy happenings are going on. That is accurate.
Okay.
Is this just tricking on the night of trick or treat? or is something more dire really going on?
These descriptions read like they were translated from something else in Google Translate. Like, they're weird.
A few times in Google Translate. Also, I've just noticed that it was this written? No, directed by a guy called Mark Lawrence. So that's nice and confusing.
I just saw that too. Yeah.
For all the Lawrence action.
Maybe he just was a homage, an homage to himself.
There you go. Why not? Yeah.
Well, we begin in this episode, not in the Lawrence Mansion, which doesn't exist, but in the Moon Beach Cafe, where Manny and Bruce have an even more insanely huge pile of chips.
Yeah, it's back.
It's bigger than ever.
It is bigger than ever. Like, they've just amped it up even more. It's hilarious. It's like, it's this teetering mountain of chips.
Yeah.
And it actually looks like towards the top, they've actually been like actually building like a little tower. It's like they're playing Jenga.
Ooh.
With their plate of chips. But it's like, this is just obviously what they do. They get a giant plate of fries and they make things with them.
Apparently. Or maybe they've sort of gone like they're having an episode like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters.
Oh God, yes. They're just trying to build the thing.
Model. Of a mountain outside. I mean, an alien arrival would fit in quite well in this version of Sweet Valley.
It really would. It would slot right in, yeah.
So they're arguing. They're looking at some hot babe who's taking orders across the other side of the Moon Beach. They argue about who saw her first. But then she turns around and there's a surprise.
Oh, God. She's made up all scary. So she's got like an eye on her forehead and her skin is all weird and she has big scary teeth in and everything.
Because it's Halloween.
Yay. Love a Halloween episode. So excited about this. Don't care that it's the wrong time of the year. It's Halloween somewhere. I'm all in. That's how that works, right?
Halloween in your heart.
In spirit. It's Halloween somewhere. It works. Don't question it too much.
Well, we cut to the gang where some randomer called Carl. Who the hell? Probably not Carl the Orderly. A bit of foreshadowing there. It's the only Carl we know of in Sweet Valley. He asks if they're ready for his party. And after he leaves, the gang discuss their costumes because it's a fancy dress party. And Liz wants her and Todd to be Romeo and Juliet. But he says they won't get him into a pair of tights. And we might remember that in one of the recent books, they dressed as just that famous couple.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, and Todd does say, like, with disdain, there's no way you're getting me in a pair of tights. And there's a great moment then when Winston entirely seriously is like, you should try it. They make you feel all light and springy.
And then reminds everybody he wore them in Macbeth.
Loved it. Like, this is... Winston is fantastic in this whole scene. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, he's great. Well, he's great in this episode. True. Because Bruce approaches and makes a jibe about... Winston still wearing Spider-Man underoos, and Winston just comes back without missing a beat and says that he wants to go for Halloween as a rich snob. Can he borrow some clothes?
It's so good. He's just straight in there, like no messing. He's just not having it.
No. I just love his demeanor. Like he's, you know, when Bruce, people try to sort of like take advantage of him or trick him like Jessica or just be a dick to him like Bruce, he's just like, I don't give a shit about you losers.
He's so unbothered. It's great. It's very attractive.
Meanwhile, by the way, Edith's wearing a check shirt. Very of its time.
Nice, yeah.
So Bruce has somebody to introduce to the classic gang.
Yeah, so this guy, he calls over Baxley, he says. And it's this guy, Gary Baxley, who apparently is new to Sweet Valley High, or he's transferred or something. Gary Baxley is 40.
Oh, at least.
Who are these fully grown men in their dad jeans that they keep bringing in as these like weird love interests? Because
this
is a fully grown man.
Like, it 100% is.
He has no business hanging out with teenagers.
No. apparently he's a sports star and Todd recognizes him and Lila turns up and dressed in quite an ensemble. Can you describe it?
It's one hell of a blazer. Holy shit. It's all stripy, but it's got like black, brown and yellow stripes. So she's like a really fancy bumblebee. And she's wearing, is it like a yellow pinafore, I think, underneath it?
It is. And with a sort of a silk blouse and possibly a cravat under that.
Style out the gap. I love it.
Well, she introduces him or introduces herself as Gary's welcoming committee.
So good. She's gassed because she's all over Gary immediately. And she's like, Gary, I'm not usually this forward. And then Winston, again, without missing a beat, jumps in. And he's like, she's usually much worse.
So she asks him to the fancy dress party. And Gary asks, is Bruce going to this party? But Bruce has other plans.
Yeah, Bruce reveals he's heading to school that night. He's going to check it out because apparently there's a... fucking school lore has it that this guy called Larry Manson, who died in the school 25 years ago, comes back every Halloween night. So apparently he was like a guy who the football team dared to go in and steal an exam paper on Halloween night. And when he broke into the school, they scared him to death.
Yes, because nobody questions this, by the way. They're just like, oh, yeah, scared him to death. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, that checks
out.
It
happens in the normal world.
So, yeah, his ghost comes back every Halloween to get revenge on all the Sweet Valley High students, which, you know, as motivation, I can get on board with that. That does seem very understandable.
True. I mean, I'm surprised there aren't more people haunting Sweet Valley High, to be honest.
It's ripe for vengeful ghosts.
Bruce talks about how Lawrence Manson turns up every Halloween to get revenge, and Liz says that she's read about this in the archives, so you know she thinks this is obviously historical record. And Winston, the only sensible person here, says, look, I believe a kid died, but I don't believe this haunting stuff. And Gary says that he's in, but Winston isn't so enthusiastic.
Yeah, he's not really into this whole thing at all. But everybody else is like, or Liz is kind of interested to go and check it out, which means that Todd then is as well. And kind of one by one, the group are like, yeah, okay, let's go see what happens. Like, let's go for a look.
Yeah.
So he's kind of brought along by the rest.
Yeah. And Winston makes chicken noises at him, which triggers him into giving in. But Manny, however, is too scared and literally runs away saying, don't mess with the dead.
I mean, yeah, I'm kind of with Manny here a little bit, I have to say.
Oh, me too. I would not be going anywhere near that place.
No, I'm good. Thanks. I'm not going after any ghosts. I am totally fine here in the cafe with my giant plate of chips. Thank you.
Well, we cut to the Casa del Wakefield and the Hershey Bar, where we see that Jessica's headboard of her bed is apparently a multicoloured picket fence with hats hanging off each picket.
Oh my god, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, please go back and have another look. I was like, what is happening to her bed? What is this? Is that a bed? This is madness. Well, oh, Jessica asks Lila if she wants to go to a frat party because she wasn't in the Jessica wasn't in the Dairy Burger earlier. I mean, the Moon Beach Cafe. Sorry. asks Lila if she wants to go to a frat party after Carl's big fancy dress bash, and she's wearing a sort of skin tight halter neck dress over a very low cut red tee. It's an oddly proportioned outfit.
True.
And Lila's still wearing her amazing stripy blazer over a pinny over a silk blouse outfits. And she says she has other plans and says she's going to study. And Jessica doesn't buy this for a minute. Yeah.
True. Yeah. Straight away, she's like, OK, what's his name?
Well, Liz just pops out of the bathroom to say it's Gary and he's gorgeous.
I know. It's like, really? Are we sure about that?
And we won't give away what her costume is until we get sort of confirmation of
the full
who
picture,
it is.
Yeah.
Yes, later. But she's wearing a slinky black dress and asks the other two what they think of it. And Lila's all, you're wearing that? And Jessica says, it's really revealing. And it's not.
Not at all. Like, it's tight, sure. But like, it's almost up to her neck and down to her ankles. Like, she is completely covered.
Yes. Well, Jessica's got two choices. What could they be?
That's right. She holds up like both costumes literally fit in the palm of her hands. They're so small. So she's got her options are Catwoman or a genie. Both are man killers, apparently.
Liz is like, is that a glove? That's so small. And Jessica decides she's going to go as Catwoman.
Mm.
Or will she? We cut to the school and spooky music plays as a devilish silhouette appears in the corridor.
It's amazing. Like, yes, the shadow of like some demonic figure with like a big fork and horns and everything. And they come around the corner and it's Bruce dressed as the devil.
The red devil. And Lila and Jessica aren't happy.
Oh my god, this is so funny. But like, yeah, it's that thing where they've both come in the same outfit, but they're both genies.
Sort of I Dream of Genie style.
Very much so, yes. But they're basically just wearing bikinis with like a gauzy fabric over there as trousers, kind of, or like a skirt.
Yes.
Like, they both look sensational.
True.
But like, it is just so funny. Like, oh god. Especially when Jessica's like, that's very revealing about Liz's dress, and she's literally turning up in underwear.
Yes.
But yeah, they're both a genie. So yeah, Jessica's outfit is kind of red and gold, I think, and then Lila's is yellow. But they're both lovely genies.
Yes. And Lila is giving out to Jess for saying she was going to be Catwoman.
Yeah.
And Jessica says, just goes, I lied, and then pokes at Lila and says, is that cellulite?
Of course.
Horrifies Lila. And again, is an example of Jessica promoting terrible body image.
Oof. Yeah, not good.
Well, Gary is there and he's dressed to the nines.
Oh, fucking Gary. He's come as a crap centurion, basically.
Oh, my God. Well, he's having the time of his life because Lila and Jessica are both clinging to him, saying they're frightened.
Oh god, I don't know why they're scrapping over this guy when he actually looks like their dad.
I mean, maybe he was originally hired to play Ned. And that would work. I'm trying to give him something. Well, Gary might be happy, but two others aren't. Winston and Enid.
Oh no! Yeah, they got to Winston's car. It's got a flat tire. Mm. And Enid is there with the jack, and she's given out to Winston, saying, "I wish you'd told me you didn't have a spare before I got the car off the ground." At which point, Winston reveals he does have a spare, just that it also has a flat.
I mean, really, Winston? Come on. So he's dressed as a sort of classic Christopher Lee Dracula. Vampire. Mm. And Enid is dressed as Pebbles from the Flintstones.
Oh, Enid was done fucking dirty with this costume, I will say. Because, yeah. Like, for Winston, I literally just wrote down hot vampire. Okay, yeah. Clearly. but Enid, oh man, like, the Pebbles costume is cute from, like, the, like, up, like your waist up looks great. Her hair is lovely. She's got like the bone in her ponytail. The little top is cool, little green animal print thing. But then it's like the bottoms of it are literally like a giant nappy.
It does look quite nappy-like.
It does. And like, I know Pebbles is a cartoon baby, so there's that aspect of it. But like, oh my God, they just... they were like, someone was mean to Enid here by putting her in this.
Everybody else has cool costumes.
Everyone looks so cool. And like, she could have just worn blue shorts or something instead of a baggy nappy with like a fake midriff. It's like, why have they done this to her?
Well, Winston tries to attract attention from a passing car, but strangely enough, the fact that he's dressed as a vampire and is just jumping up and down waving his cape around, they're not in a hurry to makes them not in a hurry to stop.
It doesn't do the job, weirdly. Yeah.
Yeah. Then he tells Enid they wouldn't be in this mess if she hadn't spilled hot cocoa in his lap. And she says it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't driven into a pothole. Why was she riding around with an open cup of hot cocoa?
Yeah, so they kind of argue a bit over all of this. And I have to say, I found myself shouting, kiss, kiss, kiss at the screen.
Oh, the chemistry was there.
I was like, please, come on. But they decide they're going to have to walk to the school. Yeah. But yeah, the moment disappears, unfortunately, although it might have just been mostly in my head.
Well, no, I did feel it too.
You so did feel it too, okay, just cool. You.
But yeah. Winston claims that he knows the woods, like the back of his hand. So, you know, it's okay for them to take a shortcut through the woods, which are apparently very near the school. So, and Ethan's not entirely happy about going through scary woods on Halloween. But Winston reassures her. And then what happens the minute he sets foot off the pavement?
He immediately falls face first into a giant puddle of mud.
Yes. So how in Sweet Valley where it only rains like one day a year?
Very true. It's also, it's a very unconvincing trip and fall as well, though, because he just like waves his arms and just like face plants.
It's not dark or anything. I don't really understand why I can see it. Well, Enid's amused, and that's all that counts.
True, yeah.
We cut to the school where the whole gang are now gathered in a very well lit, with sort of very impressive overhead, sort of directional lighting for school. Todd has a rash from, I guess, his fake moustache, and we realise who he and Liz are dressed as.
Oh my God, they're Gomez and Morticia.
Yes!
I loved this so much. Because when we see Liz's dress earlier, I assumed she was just kind of going to go as a witch. And I was like, okay, fine, that's grand. But the fact that she's actually Morticia and like with the long black hair and she's got like her spooky Morticia makeup on, I was like, fucking nice one. I love this. And yeah, Todd is Gomez. He's put shoe polish in his hair, which I think is what's bothering him.
Ill-advised,
to blacken it all. He's got a moustache on. He's wearing this kind of like stripey, it's like brown and black stripes.
It's very Gomez.
Very Gomez. I don't know, is it a dressing gown or what it is, but he looks the part. They
both
look
a smoking jacket sort of vibe.
They look fucking great, and I was fully on board with this.
Yes, me too. I was very happy when I realized what they were. And Bruce tells them all to close their eyes and all hold hands, and he summons Lawrence Manson, and they're all getting a bit nervous. Patty is there too. She's dressed as a sort of a Viking / Valkyrie. It's good look.
Yeah, literally what I've written down as well. It's like Valkyrie or a Viking. It's like one of these two or a combination thereof. But yeah, it's a good look as well.
She's pulling it off, yeah.
She is, yeah. She looks great.
They tell Lawrence Manson that they mean no harm and summon him again. And then lightning strikes.
oh my God. Yes, the drama. Like the lights go off and there's a scream and I don't know, they have candles on the go or something, but suddenly from the shadows, like a mannequin on wheels comes forward and everybody freaks out and gets up and scrambles for the door.
But Todd notices it's on a fishing line and he traces it to Bruce, who cries, gotcha, with genuine glee.
He's so delighted with himself.
He really is. And he says Halloween is meant to be scary. And Jessica is clinging to Gary and says that she's having fun. And Lila gives her a great side eye and says, climb back in your bottle.
Such a great burn. I loved it.
So Patty heads off to go to the loo. But when she opens the door, what did she see?
A terrifying vision. So it's like this big scary face with like bulging eyes and sticks all sticking out of it. Like, it is quite a scary thing. But it turns out it's actually just Winston. Like, it was definitely a weird thing that they'd done up for that immediate shot. But yeah, yes, it eventually then changes angle and it's Winston and Enid arriving in. Just Winston is an absolute state from his fall into all the mud.
I don't really understand how he still has twigs in his hair. You'd think he'd have pulled them over the course of the walk.
Very true.
Anyway, he says he's heading to have a shower to get rid of the mud and asks if Jessica wants to join him.
I know, again, he's just like, I'm going for a shower. Anyone want to come? Jessica? No? Okay.
We can't be angry with him for long.
He's so gassy. Yeah.
Then we cut to the doors of the school. What should be happening?
Mystery hands. There's like mystery gloved hands are locking the door with chains.
Who could it be? Well, they hear a noise, presumably from mystery hands, and Gary goes off to investigate the noise, and Todd says he'll join them or join Gary because he doesn't trust Bruce to supervise him. But Liz says she doesn't want to be left with the Prince of Darkness, and Bruce again just looks delighted with himself.
He's so thrilled.
And Lila says she hopes nothing happens to Gary because she just found him.
Yeah, I think Lila and Jessica both kind of take off then after Gary to see how he gets on.
And then we see mystery hands again cutting the electricity off at the fuse box, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
And then as Jessica and Lila cling together in the darkness, they hear something.
Oh, they hear Gary going, no, no. And it's all very dramatic, but they kind of run around the corner to see what's happened. But they're very frightened, and two frightened little genies. Yeah. But they find Gary's costume all ripped up on the ground. And they're like, oh no, something terrible has happened.
And no Gary. So no. They scream. So after a shot of a spooky moon, we cut to Jess telling the gang what they saw and heard. And Bruce is all like, oh, it looks... You know, his clothes were shredded as if by some sharp clawed beast.
Yes. And like, he can barely keep a straight face as he's saying this line. He's just having such a great time.
I know, it is great. And then they hear some scary moaning and Lila screams. But who could it be?
No. It's just Winston again.
Yeah. Needed asks if anyone has a wooden stake.
And then there's another moment where Winston kind of goes for her like he's going to drink her blood and they're kind of messing. But again, I was like, come on, kiss.
There are a 1-2 pairing.
I think they are, yeah.
Well, Lila's not in the mood for all this sort of tomfoolery. And Liz says they should split up and find Gary. But Patty's like, no, we should get out of here.
She's literally like, yeah, forget him. Let's get out of here. And like, yeah, true. He's a fully grown man. He can take care of himself.
Also, yeah, go somewhere and call the police if you really think he's been killed. Or call for somebody. I mean, we know what the Sweet Valley Police Force are worse than useless. But anyway, they can't get out.
They sure can't.
Because the door is locked by mystery hands.
It's been chained.
And then we know there's only one thing that can happen next.
It could only be the greatest montage of all time.
Oh my God. They've hit new heights of insanity. It's just, how would you describe this one?
Anna, I screamed. Like, I was thrilled by this. I enjoyed it so much. I think this is one of my favorite things I have seen in ages. And again, this might be my deranged lockdown brain, but I was having a blast during this whole montage.
It's incredible. It starts off with a clip from the, you know, classic German horror film Nosferatu.
Like,
how did they get the rights to
Do you know what? I think it's just things that are in public domain, because it's shots of all the gang in pairs and threes kind of like running towards like the same couple of doors and trying to open them. And then interspersed with like, it starts off with like stock footage of lightning. Then it's like Nosferatu's shadow coming up the stairs. I think at that point I just wrote down in all caps, I am living. There's like a howling sound effect. There's like all the doors are locked. There's just all these like vintage horror movie clips thrown in. There's like a shot of Lon Chaney as the Phantom of the Opera. It's incredible.
There's also one of the early Wolfman films as well.
Yes, and I think those are in public domain because I looked up whether that Phantom of the Opera is, and it is because it's from the 20s. So that's what it is. I'd say it's all just stuff that's free to use. So they were like, fucking lash it in. If it's creepy looking, let's go.
Yeah, let's get out of the stock film library.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Incredible. And of course, there's the usual music with the suitable lyrics. It's like, something strange is going on around here. We have everything to fear. My worst nightmares come true. I'm stuck inside my school.
All the doors are locking by themselves. Like, oh my God, I was so entertained.
There's slow motion. There's lots of running and trying doors. And then at the end, super cheerful Bruce just takes a devilish bite of an apple.
Oh my God, but it's like he got it out of a vending machine. There's like a close-up of him like putting a coin into this like old-timey vending machine and like taking out an apple, I guess. I don't know how long apples last in vending machines.
I mean, but again, that good idea.
He is just fully delighted with himself, eating his apple very cheerfully while everybody freaks out. And like, honest to God, those like just movie clips just nearly killed me off altogether. There's even like a title card pops up with like a ghost.
It's amazing. I think it might be the best montage ever. It's up there with Jessica and her performance as Lady Macbeth.
Honestly, it was the greatest thing I have seen this year. It is the finest piece of television I have watched in a long time.
Maybe the lockdown speaking listeners, but
no, it's not. This is for real.
Well, when it ends, Todd tells Bruce he's gone too far, but Bruce is like, I had nothing to do with it. So Todd decides to hit the fire alarm because they realize that will attract attention and help them get out of the school. But nothing happens.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, of course, we saw Mystery Hands cutting the power earlier. So obviously that did in the fire alarm too. And Enid's like, maybe it's a silent alarm. Oh, Enid.
It's on that silent. And then they realize that Lila and Winston are nowhere to be seen.
Oh, no.
So we cut to some random classroom and Lila is creeping in, looking for Gary, and gets a shock when she finds Winston.
Yeah, he scares her again, but it is actually by accident this time.
Yeah.
She's just like, are you in here? And he's like, no, he's not. She's like, oh, Jesus.
Well, he realizes there's some storage closet in there. So he was just about to check it. And Lila warns him against it because she says when people open, you know, random closets in horror films, they always die. And Vincent says he laughs in the face of danger. But what happens when he opens the closet door?
Oh, a big skeleton falls out and frightens the life out of him.
But Lila laughs because she realizes straight away it's Mr. Bones, the school's anatomy skeleton.
Yeah, it's like one of those like articulated skeleton things from like a biology class, I suppose. So she thinks it's hilarious and he's like, it's not funny.
So he asks her to help him put back Mr. Bones. But when she approaches the door of the closet to do so, what should happen?
Mystery hands. He shoves Lila into the closet and locks the door behind them.
Yes, and he's not only mystery hands, he's mystery face, he's got a Jason style.
He's got a hockey mask, you're right. Yeah. Yes.
So they're locked in there. And when Lila realizes she's trapped in a closet with Winston, she screams.
Honestly, Lila's scream is kind of amazing. Like, I feel like her and Jessica are really good at screaming. Like,
full actually, horror diva stuff.
Fully scream queen, carry on. Like I wrote down, beat in horror films, Bridget Flannery.
Yeah, she's so good. Duds. Well, here's another excellent moment. You know that neither of us are fans of Todd Liz romance in the books, but she wonders, and we cut to her and Todd in a corridor somewhere, probably the same corridor. They've been running up and down all that time. And she wonders if splitting up was a good idea. And Todd says it is, and they want to be alone. And then he goes full Gomez.
He does. He does the like pulling out her arm and kissing all the way up it. And it's just like, yes, I love this. I can't believe I'm so invested in Liz and Todd all of a sudden.
I know. And it just took them dressing up as Gomez and Morticia. Who knew?
They did.
So they share a little go as a Morticia moment, but then as they realize that it's midnight, where Lawrence, which is the time that Lawrence Manson apparently starts walking the halls, and when they kiss, the clock falls off the wall.
Oh shit! Yeah, so that does frighten Liz, in fairness, and that would spook me too.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'd be pretty spooked with the whole being locked inside the school that wasn't locked, you know, half an hour ago. So Jessica, Patty, Bruce, and Enid take refuge in, I guess it's like the drama room or something.
Yeah, it's some kind of theater room or something. Mm. Yeah.
And then a piece of paper sort of thrown into the room.
Like it's clearly like just thrown into shot. It's like there's someone standing there who's just lobbed this in, and the way they all react to like just the paper, and it's like, not, oh, someone just threw that. Who is that? Yeah.
Well, what could this piece of paper be?
Yeah, so Enid unfolds it. It's like it's done. It's a little paper airplane, I think. Mm. But it turns out it's actually a test paper. But it's dated from 1969.
The year that Lawrence died. It was the summer of 69. Or no, the Halloween of 69.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the lights, of course, go out.
Oh man, everybody screams, and like the girls all run, and Bruce kind of is sitting with them, and when they all scream, he screams too, but then they all get up and run out, and he kind of sits there still screaming, and then just breaks his shite laughing because he's just living for this.
But what should happen?
Mystery Hands. Mystery Hands grabs Bruce, and then he's like, ooh.
So we cut to the closet where Lila tries to ring for help on her mobile, but she has no signal. And Winston understandably can't believe she had a phone this whole time. And why didn't she use it before now, before they were trapped in like a closet with no signal?
But also, where was she keeping that giant phone? Like, that is a very skimpy costume.
My notes say, where was she hiding that giant 90s phone?
It must have been in her hair, like in her giant ponytail or something. There's literally no
point. There was no way with those harem pants.
No, none.
Well, they tell each other that, you know, at least they're safe in there, you know, hidden in their closet. But then Winston says maybe the scary monster is just storing them there until he gets hungry.
Oh God, yeah. And he's like, we'll probably suffocate before that even happens anyway. And poor Lila's really upset and she starts crying.
And she genuinely is crying. And then Winston sincerely comforts her and is like, look, I'm sorry, I was just trying to be funny and it wasn't like the right moment. And then she says, she's just glad she's not alone. And what should happen then?
Oh my God. Like, he's like, yeah, me too. And he's kind of got his hand on her shoulder. And this is this really nice moment between them. And fucking Lila goes in for the kill.
Oh, she does. It's not coming from Winston.
It's not.
Oh. There's a bit of chemistry between them too.
He's got chemistry with everybody because he's hot.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Very true. There's enough of Winston to go round. But then they're interrupted by a rattle on the door.
Oh yeah, so Lila's like, oh, should we call for help? And Winston's like, no, someone might come.
Yeah. Like, let's just keep going here. Yeah. But the spell is broken for Lila, and then the door is opened by none other than Todd.
Yes, but of course Winston thinks it's going to be their mystery hands attacker, and like tackles Todd to the ground.
And Todd is, they realise it's Todd, and he says, like, what were you doing? And Lila's like, nothing at all, nothing at all.
Oh, God. Yeah, she's basically like, if you tell anybody, I will fucking kill you.
So they find the others, but now Bruce is missing. And those who saw the mystery flying test tell the others about it and say that Bruce didn't make it. Like, they're in the fucking Poseidon adventure or something. He's just like Gene Hackman himself into a... bells of a ship.
Classic Bruce.
Well, Patty is very blasé about when she says that she thinks Bruce was shredded as well.
Yeah, Patty just wants out of here. She's just like, nah, fuck this. I don't care about any of you guys.
I mean, who can blame her?
I know, yeah. She's not wrong.
So they hear somebody coming and they close the door of the classroom that they're in for some reason. And then Todd hides behind the door. The rest of them gather on the other side of the doorway where whoever comes in will see them immediately.
True, actually, yeah.
We cut to Bruce striding happily down the corridor. And who could he have his arm around?
Oh, why, it's Manny.
Yes. And Manny says that if he had a dollar for every scream he heard that night, he'd be as rich as Bruce.
Yeah, so they're just bragging about how clever they are for their big prank. And of course, Manny is mystery hands and has the hockey mask on his head as well. So, but I think they walk past the classroom that everybody's hiding in. So they all overhear that it was the two lads.
Yes, and they discuss their favourite moments of the of the night, favourite pranks. And we learn that that Manny did surprise Bruce when he seized him in the drama room. So Bruce isn't amused by that reminder. And they go off to get Gary, who was, of course, in on the whole thing.
Of course.
So, of course, the gang heard all inside the classroom. While Todd is happy that nobody is dead. Oh, sorry, just trying to stifle a cough. And I'm so excited to find what's coming next. What does he say?
I'm going to kill those guys.
His catchphrase, plural.
Love it. And especially the fact that it's followed with him saying, you know, I'm glad it's all a joke and they're still alive. I'm going to kill those guys. It's like he's only glad they're alive so he can kill them.
Exactly. Well, that's the Todd way. Fist of so fury. Good.
Yeah.
But Liz and Jess have a better idea. As Jess said, why get mad when you can get even?
Lightning.
Yes. Well, Bruce has, they found Gary and Bruce is high-fiving him, but then they realise they can't find the others. And then Jess emerges doing some, again, very impressive screaming with her hair all over the place.
So good. Yeah, she's in the hallway screaming and she's all dishevelled. She's got blood on her. Her like hair is all over the shop. And she's really good in this. And again, like, these girls missed a trick not being in horror movies because they're really good at it. But yeah, she runs up all like hysterical to Bruce and she's like, it's in there, and like tears off again, screaming down the hallway. So the lads are like, oh shit. But hilariously, Bruce is like, Manny, go check it out.
Well, Gary takes charge and leads them into the classroom and they see a very impressive setup.
This is so good. I don't know how much time they had, but they fucking nailed it.
It looks like it would have required about 5 hours.
Surely, yes. But they're just extremely creative kids, I suppose.
True. Yeah, it's basically when Bruce and co go in, it looks like the rest of the gang have been dismembered.
Like seriously, they're a pile of bloodied bodies all heaped up in the middle of the floor. And then Winston, it's like his decapitated head is like on a counter, like twitching. There's a hand, like a severed hand doing the same thing.
How did they set that bit up?
It's like, so whatever
about the rest of them just lying there with some bloodstains. Like,
yeah.
The dismemberment is very impressive.
There's a whole, like, Winston's body all set up then, like, beside that with, like, the head cut off. So, like, they found a mannequin, they did makeup and wardrobe. They kind of pan around to everybody who's playing dead really well, although Enid hilariously has, like, her tongue sticking out. It's like, come on now, Enid.
That's a hard pose to keep, Enid. Like, if you're going to play dead. There's a really funny book about bad acting called The Art of Coarse Acting, which advises that, like, it has photos. It's from the 70s, and my dad was a big fan of it. But there's a really hilarious example of photos of how not to die on stage.
Oh, no, you'll
have to hold the pose. And the how not to die one is, like, bent backwards over something with your tongue sticking out, being like, bleh. And then the best way to die is die behind a piece of furniture. And then,
oh, very crafty.
You know, you could maybe even sit up and have a drink while the rest of the show is going on with your feet sticking out the back.
Genius.
So yeah, Enid did not follow. She went for the most awkward pose
very much
in this scenario, and fair play to her because she pulls it off.
She does, and they all do a very good job. But yeah, of course, the three lads are horrified, so they scream and run for it, only to find that the door, of course, is still locked and the fire alarm doesn't work, which is what everybody else had discovered at this stage.
Yes, and the gang emerge laughing away, and Bruce shows, you know, puts on a sort of show of bravado and says they were never scared, and then Mr. Bones the Skeleton drops down on top of them and they shriek. That's quite good.
It's fantastic, yeah, because that's especially satisfying then after his, as you say, little show of bravado is just immediately undone by another fright. And Winston gets his revenge for being called chicken because he's like, somebody call the colonel, I think it's time for some chicken.
Yes, and everybody hoots and hollers. But then they hear footsteps and they see a shadowy figure coming around the corner in silhouette.
Oh my god. And this time they kind of look around and it's like, oh shit, everyone's here. Like, there's nobody missing at this stage. So they all scream and run for it. But this time the doors do open because, I don't know, were they fake chains? Look, it doesn't matter.
They break an iron chain somehow. which they weren't able to do when they were trying to break
it. By force of will, yeah. So they managed to get the doors open and they all just absolutely leg it into the night, screaming their heads off.
And you see that it's just a janitor coming around, but then in a final twist, we hear evil laughter and the janitor says, well, we guess it's the janitor,
yeah.
Says in a sort of Vincent Price doing that scary bit in Thriller that used to scare, really, really frighten me when I was a little kid, says, that's right, Lawrence, they're gone now.
Oh my God. And then it's just like maniacal ghost laughter.
And that's the end.
Fucking incredible. Oh, my God.
Possibly the best so far.
By far. Oh my God. I loved this so much. It was so good.
Oh, it really, really was. So, I mean, there was the costumes. There was the fake ghosts and possibly real ghosts. I mean, it was a roller coaster.
Again, like to quote you on Juvenalia, go ghost or go home. Like, yeah. It's, I love that they went there and they were like, nah, fuck it. There's actually a ghost.
There really was. Well, listeners, did you watch this episode? In fact, we know a few of you did because you got in touch with us to say that that you enjoyed it. And you especially enjoyed the Lila Jessica bitchery went down very well. So
true. Yeah, it's always good.
So do let us know what you think. We really hope you're enjoying your Pi Beta Alpha super sorority series, because we really appreciate you supporting the show, and it's genuinely a delight to be able to do something like this. So again, our sincere thanks to you all. And we loved hearing from you about the last episode. Lizzie49 agreed with us that the supermarket scene was total BS and pointed out, apparently Jessica has never actually been to a rock concert. She should have taken fashion tips from Enid on that one.
Very true. Like, Enid is always dressed for a grunge concert at a moment's notice. Yeah.
True. Yeah, a few people were very happy to hear Lapron Minta and Olive Q-Tip. Both were delighted to hear Pepsi getting dragged. I mean, does anyone really like Pepsi?
I know. It's like, who actually chooses Pepsi?
Yes. Oh, and yes, something that we couldn't make out, that there was another, Katie Longstrath pointed out, there was another note on the fridge this week when Todd went for his midnight milk run basketball practice. Katie wondered, was it an update on Alice's whereabouts? But it was impossible to make out.
Yeah, I did try to work out what it was, but I couldn't. The quality was just a bit too low. It's like, we need to get the DVDs to properly investigate.
True. Well, I mean, we are always delighted to hear from you. So you know how to reach us. We are on SPH Podcast on Twitter.
Yeah, on Instagram, we're at SPH Podcast everywhere, really.
Actually,
we?
That's like, true.
On Facebook as well, and Twitter and Instagram, and at sphpodcast@gmail.com. That's the other one. The email.
Well done. So yeah, do let us know what you thought if you watched along with us. And remember, you can find all these episodes on YouTube. It's how we're watching. So if you'd like to watch next week's episode in advance, let us know. And if this description, sorry for spoiling you, but if our recap has made you want to watch The Ghost of Lawrence Mansion, I mean, it is worth watching just to see, I think, the Morticia and Gomez costumes.
Oh my God, the costumes are so good. And also Miriam Crozier was pointing out that it is the Scooby-Dooiest episode ever.
Very true.
She's only sorry they didn't use the Scooby gang for their costumes, which actually would have been hilarious. Because Winston is a natural Shaggy. I mean, Bruce and Todd could probably fight over Fred. I mean, who would be Velma then?
Enid?
Yes, of course, Enid's Velma. And then, yeah, Daphne would again be a row between between Jessica and Lila.
I think Lila.
Fight to the death for Daphne.
Lila's more of a redhead.
She's got the hair colour already, you're right, yeah. Yeah. So, Jessica could just be the villain they unmask at the end.
Well, I mean, she'd be good.
She would, yeah.
I think. Well, listeners, let us know who you think that they should have gone as, what other costumes they should have chosen for their Halloween spectaculars. And we will see you next week in the main episode, which is probably going to be quite a serious one.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a bit heavy.
Yes, so be warned. And we will see you here, where I'd be very surprised if it was serious. Because next week's episode is... I'm quite excited about this, even though the original book has Dana in it and they have changed this to a Wakefield twin. Next week is The Prince of Santa Dora.
Oh my God.
So, I hope you're ready, everybody, because we will see you here in a fortnight where we find out what happens when Sweet Valley gets a visit from the Prince of Santa Dora.
Amazing.
See you then, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Experience the difference at Woodhouse Buick GMC. From the GMC Acadia to the Buick Encore, we're sure to have a vehicle that fits your lifestyle. Our climate-controlled showroom guarantees a comfortable shopping experience every time you visit. Plus, our commitment to our customers continues well beyond the date of purchase. You will leave our lot feeling comfortable and confident in your new vehicle. Start your car buying journey today, in-store or online at woodhousebuickgmc.com. We are professional grade.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.